two kids on the Holocaust. Growing up, I was used to hear people who were speaking in various keynotes, gatherings, emphasizing the fact that if we have any hope of trying to add a spark of feeling and connection and recognition of the devastation of all the tragedies throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, so the place to start is the one that's closest to us, the one that we can feel most poignantly because it's a reality to people who are still around, who are still alive in 2016. At the same time, something struck me this week. I overheard someone talking about the Holocaust, and without any particular intent, but simply part of the information that was being relayed, casually mentioned that the Holocaust took place 70 years ago. And it shook me up because when I was a kid, and maybe the first time I was taught about the Holocaust, people were saying 40 years. 40 years to 70 years is a very different reality. 40 years is something which is clear and present. 70 years is several generations ago, which means that we can talk about the Holocaust being something for our generation, but it's slowly slipping away. It's slowly becoming more and more distant and not so much in our face as maybe it was for the initial generations in the aftermath of the Holocaust and even for those of my generation who were not that far off and had the opportunity to talk to our grandparents about what they saw and what they experienced. I want to share one or two thoughts which I hope will give a little reinvigoration of that connection to us now that we're at 70 years. I always wondered, and if you'll forgive me, I want to focus on Rav Schwab's kina. First is from the Bava Reva, but we'll focus on Rav Schwab. I always wondered why it was that Rav Schwab, of the many, many Gedolei Yisrael who lived from 1945 to today, why was it that his kina was zocha to be included in the repertoire of the recitation of kinas throughout the world? So many kilos included his nusach of a kinas regarding the Holocaust. And as you go through his writings, many different places, they're putting out more of Rav Schwab's writings, you see that he was someone who had a unique preoccupation and contemplation across all of his ksavim about the Holocaust. In his collected writings, so he's one of the sources of the stories of how the Chofetz Chaim prophetically foretold what was going to happen. He tells a story about the famous Shabbos that he spent by Yaakov Akude in Radin. Just to share one story that's recorded, an incident took place that weekend in Radin that gave me a glimpse into the measure of the man. Had I not witnessed it myself, I would not have believed it. It was Matzah Shabbos. Chofetz Chaim had eaten a frugal shalashurtis. When I came in, he was already talking. This was before benching. The room was dark and crowded with people. Chofetz Chaim was speaking of the responsibility. Everyone present has to go out, be makar v'chokim, go into shuls, talk to the people about mitzvahs, doing tshuva, Shabbos, kashrus, tefillin, taras mishpacha. Chofetz Chaim said, I will go also, bli neder, which he did. He went to Grodin to speak to the people there. Chofetz Chaim continued. Eventually he said, it's time to bench. As he started benching, this is Rav Schwab witnessing, like a simple Jew saying one word at a time, I did not see anything special in his manner. But suddenly when you reach Rachim Na, the blessing that begins, have mercy, something seemed to happen to him. He cried out, Al Yisrael Amecha, Val Tzion Mishkan Klodecha, Oi, Oi. He continued in this manner until he reached the Arachmans and stopped. At that point he said to the people, a crowded room where he was, I see what will happen 10 years from now. This was 1930. You don't see, but I do. A great fire. In the middle of benching, he suddenly had a vision of future events. And he exclaimed, 12 million is child's play. That was the end of what the Chofetz Chaim said. And Schwab turned to the person next to him. He said, what is he talking about? He said, the Chofetz Chaim talks about it all the time. 12 million was the sum total of people who were killed in World War I. The Chofetz Chaim knew, and there are letters from the Chofetz Chaim about this also. He saw it coming. And Schwab writes that, I never forgot the scene. And for 10 years, I replayed it in my mind and waited fearfully for its realization till 1940 when it started to come true. So he felt it coming. He felt it coming. And even after the Holocaust, you look in Mayan Beis HaShoeva and Parshas Peshalach, see, it offers a very interesting Peshalach. How could it be we find in the Tanchuma, not just Chamushim, one-fifth of Klal Yisrael actually left, but there are different days in the Medrash, 1/50th or 1/500th, which means that there were 300 million Jews who died in Mitzrayim. How could it be 300 million Jews who died in Mitzrayim? So he says, Pshat must be, and he brings rise to this, doesn't mean that there were 300 million Jews who died in Mitzrayim. It would be impossible. The whole point, Rashi says in Chumash, was so that no one would find out about it. If there were 300 million dead bodies, they wouldn't have been able to bury them all in a week during Choshech, and Mitzrayim would never have found out about it. It doesn't make any sense. He explains as follows, reading to you from the Rashwab and Chumash, the English version. Medrash goes back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin, Kol Dumei Achicha Tzokim Eilai Min Adama. When Kadosh Baruch Hu says that to Cain about Hevel, he wasn't just talking about Hevel's blood, but also the blood of all of Hevel's future offspring. When a person is murdered, all of his potential descendants are murdered along with him. We might therefore say that during the 3 days of darkness, only a few hundred sinful Jews truly did not merit redemption died. However, had these Jews lived, they would have produced many descendants. And he goes on to make a cheshbon that whatever the number was in Mitzrayim, the 300 million represents the fact that the Holocaust of Mitzrayim, so to speak, was something that was so far-reaching for generations forward. He says perhaps even until the coming of Mashiach. A cheshbon had to be made as to how many Jews were removed from our presence, from the small population that could have been much larger, that we see ourselves nowadays getting smaller with assimilation. So the first thing that Rav Schwab is telling us to understand, and it's interwoven into the horrors that he describes in the Kina itself, and you have to read the English because it rips at your heart. The destruction, the devastation, and the terror, what Rav Schwab is also trying to tell us is that it wasn't just a momentary event in the history of Klal Yisrael that we suffered 7 years ago. But when we think about the plight of Klal Yisrael, a small nation that's constantly being attacked on all sides, in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, had we been the multitudes that we could have been had 6 million not been destroyed, as Rav Schwab says in his own words, it wasn't 6 million that were killed by the Nazis. It was tens and tens and tens, perhaps hundreds of millions of Jews who were killed by the Nazis with the same logic employed by the Medrash vis-a-vis Mitzrayim. So Rav Schwab was someone who not only had that churning fear from the Chafetz Chaim beforehand, but was able to look back and really appreciate the magnitude of the Churban for Klal Yisrael. Also in his aftermath, after the aftermath of the Holocaust, Rav Schwab became one of the greatest leaders of American Jewry. He was very idealistic about the future, the commitment of Orthodox Jews, even at a time when people were predicting Orthodoxy to die, certainly in America. It's also interesting. It makes you wonder. He had a relationship with Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan stayed by his house in 1938 when he was visiting Baltimore, raising money for the yeshiva. And there was a correspondence that's in the Sefer and Chumash, where Schwab mentions and brings a letter back and forth between him and Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan encouraged him to write a kuntras, surveying Mamari Chazal and Psukim throughout Tanakh about Ikfas of the Mashiach, which of course was something that Rabbi Chanan wrote about as well. And he wrote this kuntras. He wrote this kuntras, he published it anonymously, but he wasn't able to publish it before the war, and he wasn't able to show it to Rabbi Chanan, because at that point Rabbi Chanan already was killed, famously, in Kovno. And I was thinking about that event, which has become famous because it's one of the few recorded addresses that we have from a leader, Rabbi Chanan, Rosh Yeshiva Branovich, speaking to the people who, together with himself, are about to be executed. And we have part of his speech that he gave over at that moment, that dramatic few hours before they were actually shot. And there's a line in there which has to hit home for us. First, Rabbi Chanan cautioned the prisoners that they shouldn't have any impure thoughts in their minds, chas v'shalom, that would detract from the Kiddush Hashem that was about to take place, because they were karbonos, and there's psulei machshava in karbonos as well. And then he said as follows: apparently they consider us tzaddikim in heaven, for we were chosen to atone for Klal Yisrael with our lives. If so, we must repent completely here now. Time is short. The road to the Ninth Fort, which is where Slobodka, the martyrs, were killed, it's rapidly approaching. We must realize that our sacrifice will be more acceptable when it's accompanied by repentance. We will thereby rescue our brothers and sisters in America. In America. We are now about to perform the greatest possible mitzvah. You destroyed it by fire, the Pasuk says, and with fire you shall rebuild it. The fire which will now consume our bodies is the very same fire which will give rise to the rebirth of the Jewish people. Unbelievable. Many people talk about the quote-unquote positives, using that term very loosely, of the Holocaust, that it gave way to Shiva Sion of sorts, that if not for the Holocaust, there wouldn't have been international sympathy that would have allowed for the United Nations to agree, to vote, that there should be a Jewish state. Interesting. Chafetz Chaim said, Hartzion Tia Pleita, that's where the escape is going to be. But Rabbi Chanan focused on something else. Rabbi Chanan, Ruach Kodesh, when he's about to die, felt that his Kiddush Hashem, and the Kiddush Hashem of those around him, was for the rebirth of Yiddishkeit in America. Which means that when we think about the Holocaust, when we read the Kinnis about the Holocaust, it's very much us. It's very much us. Not because of how close or how distant we are from the destruction that occurred 40 years ago or 70 years ago, but because we owe our lives and our existence to those whose deaths were a kapara. I don't know. I can't put myself in Rabbi Chanan's mind to know exactly what he meant. But I saw something from Rapam yesterday which makes it a little bit more real again. Rapam has a famous essay in Atar LeMelech about Kiddush Hashem. In the English version, in Rapam on Chumash, he writes as follows. Over a half century ago, 6 million Jews gave up their lives to sanctify Hashem's name. Today there are many hundreds of thousands of Jews who carry the names of those Kiddushim. How many of us in this room have names of people who were part of Rabbi Chanan's Kiddush Hashem during the Holocaust, that we're here and we're named after those people? So the rebirth of Klal Yisrael in America that Rabbi Chanan was describing is mamish us. And Rapam's last line, while the Kedoshim gave up their lives on Kiddush Hashem, our task is to live a life also on Kiddush Hashem. We've heard that many times before, but I think in Rabbi Chanan's, through that prism, it means a new thing. It means something else. It means that there's a machayev. There's an unbelievable machayev to walk away from the avelus over the churban of Klal Yisrael in Europe in the Holocaust with a new mission and a charge of what that means for our achrayus towards bringing back Yiddishkeit the way it once was, because hopefully that's going to be the key to Mashiach. That's the key. Just to finish off, try to pinpoint one line in the Kinnah which I think drives this home. I don't think that this is what Rishwad meant necessarily, but amid the depiction of the atrocities, he writes, Shlishi Levar, Bivrak Zam Soer, Mikarme Achen Rohavta, Goel Adam Na Zecher Tzaram Al Timcha Misefer Kasavta. The translation reads as follows, an entire third to be destroyed by the Blitzkrieg's fury. Of the cherished vineyards you dearly loved, O avenger of blood, the memory of their misery, please do not erase from the book you have written. Please don't erase the memory of the third, one third. I remember hearing a number of years ago, I was at a bar mitzvah, and the grandparents of the bar mitzvah were Holocaust survivors. And the Rav there cited Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin, of course, very prolific. One of his unbelievable undertakings on behalf of Klal Yisrael was to be the editor and the founder of the project that we know as the Encyclopedia Talmudis. And decades later, they're still about halfway through the Aleph Beis. But if anyone who's ever opened up the Encyclopedia Talmudis knows that it's a mind-blowing feat of scholarship, of amelus, of organization, and a contribution to Torah that we can't overstate. Someone asked Rav Zevin, What drove you to begin such a project? Something which, if someone would have mentioned it to me, the chance of being able to even make a crack at something like that is unfathomable. What made you take on such a project? He said, one third of Klal Yisrael died in the Holocaust. He said, for me, that's a machayev that every Jew, now, after the Shoah, has to be a Jew three times over. We have to be three times the Jew that we were before. Once again, if we contemplate Rabbi Chanan, we contemplate what Rav Palm is telling us, that our generation and our existence, the Orthodox community in America, it's true for all of Klal Yisrael. But in particular, there was that connection that when we think about the Holocaust and the machayev that has to emerge, is that we have to be a Jew three times over. And in order to make sure that the deaths of all those Kedoshim described here in the Kinnah and the Bava Rebbe's Kinnah are not Chas V'Shalom for naught, we have to make sure that we live up to that goal as well.